Hi, this is Dan Sheridan, and this is number two in our series, The Life and Letters of the Apostle Paul. Now, we left off last time with Paul the Pattern, and we're going to read again 1 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul says this, verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them, which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." And so we see, first of all, that Paul calls himself a pattern in the way the Lord dealt with him. Paul was the chief of sinners, and God reached down in grace and saved this worst of sinners. He saved him by pure grace, and in that he is our pattern. Paul is the chief of sinners. You and I and everyone else who ever lived would have to stand behind Paul. And so he is a pattern of what God can do to a man in salvation. God saves us by pure grace, my friends. God saves us freely, without any cause in us, through the redemptive work which is in Christ Jesus. Salvation is a gift of God bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has chosen this man, Paul, to be that example. God chose Paul to show us Gentiles, us sinners from among the Gentiles, the idolatrous world, that God will save us on the sole basis of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And I want you to think about that. So Paul calls himself a pattern. And he's not just a pattern in salvation, but he's also a pattern for sanctification. Paul, at one time, is touching the righteousness which is in the law. He was found blameless. But he says now he counts all these things to be loss. And so, not only do we learn in Paul how God saves, but we also learn in Paul what is the proper walk of a Christian today. And we're going to find that in his letters. And now the next passage is in 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says this. Verse 13, "Hold fast the form," or literally pattern, same word that we read in 1 Timothy 1, "hold fast the form of sound words, which words, thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." And so not only is Paul a pattern in salvation, the words that God gave to him, the very words themselves. Remember, in Scripture, it's the words that are given by inspiration of God. Paul says we're comparing spiritual things with spiritual, 1 Corinthians 2, which is a reference to the words of Scripture in his letters, and all of Scripture for that matter. But it's the words that God taught us through Paul. We're to have a form of sound words. So not only is he personally a pattern, but his message, his teaching, is also a pattern. And we will bring this out more as we get through our studies here. Now, the next thing I want to address is, here's another question I'd like to ask you to ponder. First of all, why, when Christ was on earth, did he choose 12 apostles? Christ chose 12 apostles on earth. And as a matter of fact, he told these 12 apostles to go not into the way of the Gentiles. And that was one of the messages he committed to them. And I know later he said, "Go ye into all the world." But one of the things that's characteristic of these apostles is that they were chosen by Christ for the 12 tribes of Israel. In Matthew 19, verse 28, our Lord Jesus said, "Ye which have followed me in the regeneration," I'm quoting right now, I'll turn there to make sure I don't misquote it. Here he is. He says, Matthew 19:28, "Ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So the 12 apostles have a role in Israel in judging the 12 tribes, making judicial decisions for them. And by the way, I believe that that's referring to the coming millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth from Jerusalem. And also we read in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, it says that describing the new Jerusalem, it says in the wall of the city, verse 14, by the way, for your reference, Revelation 21, verse 14, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." Now those are the 12. And by the way, Paul is not of this number. He's not of this number. Interesting, in verse 12 of the same chapter, it says, "And had a great wall, and high, and 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." So there were gates with the 12 tribes of Israel, and the foundation, the 12 foundations have the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And so what did we learn? Is we learned that God chose, Christ on earth, chose these 12 apostles for the 12 tribes of Israel. So the question comes up is, why Paul? If Christ had chosen a complete set of apostles, why did he choose another one later? And I think the answer to that question, in answering that question, will kind of fix a lot of the confusion that's been going on in the body of Christ. So a couple things we have to come to the conclusion on is, number one, is Paul is not one of the 12, and Paul is not part of the New Jerusalem. And the difference between Paul and the 12 is this, is Paul, the 12 apostles were chosen by Christ when he was on earth in his humility, but Paul was chosen by the risen and ascended Christ. And I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 to show you, I want to show you a very distinctive passage of Scripture that I think we need to recognize. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says this in verse, to get the context, verse 7 of Ephesians 4, we read this, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high," referring to Christ's ascension, "he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended," speaking of Christ when he ascended, "what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?" So first, before he can ascend, he had to first come down from heaven to earth, and he went to the lowest point he ever went to was to that tomb. And then it says, "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things." So we read that Christ was in glory before the world was. He came here in his incarnation. He went to a tomb. He rose from the dead and ascended up far above all at the right hand of God. And then it says this in verse 11, "And he gave some apostles." Who gave some apostles? The risen and ascended Christ. Friends, ponder this distinction in Scripture. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Who did? The risen and ascended Christ. When Christ was on earth in his humility, he chose 12 apostles and other laborers with them to labor among the Jewish people regarding the message of the prophets and the fulfilling of the prophets and the messianic claims of the Messiah. Later on, after, in the book of Acts, after Israel rejects Messiah in the first part of Acts, the risen and ascended Christ chooses a new set of apostles, the chief of whom is Paul, and he sends this apostle to the world with a message of justification, of sanctification, and of a hope that will take place prior to that of Israel's hope. And so that's something to think about. So Christ was chosen by the risen and ascended Christ. Peter and his group were chosen by Christ when he was on earth. Now, a question, sometimes I was at a Bible study once teaching, and some guy said to me, "It's always Paul with you. What about Jesus? What about, why do you always talk about Paul?" He said it in such a way as if he was accusing me of worshiping Paul. But let me clarify that by asking you another question. Who is the greatest apostle? Now, some of you think that I might answer Paul, but the answer to that is no. I would never say Paul is the greatest apostle. The greatest apostle, we'll find him in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it reads, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." So my answer is, who is the greatest apostle? The greatest apostle ever is Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest apostle. Now, the term apostle means sent one. As a matter of fact, in John's Gospel, in the first 12 chapters, we read of Christ as the sent one. He was the Father sent the Son. We kept Our Lord himself kept calling himself the sent one. First John, he says the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So when we come right down to it, without the Father sending the Son, there would have been no 12 apostles, and there would have been no Paul, and you and I would not be sitting here today. I wouldn't be on the radio talking to you. You wouldn't be here listening to me, and we wouldn't be meeting in fellowship with other believers if the greatest apostle never came. Christ Jesus is the greatest apostle. It's him we worship and adore. And there'd be no apostles except for him. Now, but the other thing that's interesting is that to receive the apostles, the 12 and Paul, were the same as receiving Christ. Even Christ himself said, "He that receiveth you receiveth me," referring to the apostles. I don't think you and I can make that claim. In John chapter 17, Christ, I think, primarily talking about the 12 apostles here in verse 18, we read this. As Christ is giving his prayer here, this is truly the Lord's Prayer in John 17. Matthew 5 is not the Lord's Prayer. John 17 is. And the Lord Jesus addresses his Father and says, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." So he was the apostle and he sent others. And we'll continue on this thought next time.